Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Here at EIG, we host nonprofit leadership seminars two times a year. We recently had one, and when I asked what particular challenges these nonprofits have or what area of support they need the most, it's overwhelmingly in the area of fundraising. In fact, research shows 51% of nonprofits reported receiving help with fundraising in their first year, with 37% of nonprofits reporting that it was the area in which they needed the most support, and 43% needed fundraising support in the future. So we decided to offer that guidance and support at our recent seminar and also to offer it as a topic on our show. Most often our guests are two complementary nonprofits, but sometimes one of the guests is someone who supports or offers services to nonprofits. This is the case today. My first guest is Amanda Aliperta, founder of Momentum Nonprofit Strategies, who serves as a connector between nonprofits with big dreams and community leaders, funders, and philanthropists. Welcome to the show today, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are certainly welcome. Why don't you start by telling us about Momentum?
Sure. Well, I was honored to work in Milwaukee's nonprofit sector for about 15 years in a variety of fundraising capacities. During that time, I had always dreamed someday about going out on my own. So I launched Momentum in 2020 when personal and professional circumstances sort of aligned. It was time for a new professional opportunity. And also, my youngest son was born with some complex medical conditions that required a lot of doctor's appointments. So it came to the point where I really needed more control over my schedule, and it was time to dive into something new. So I had always wanted to help a lot of nonprofits. I had worked in fundraising shops with 150 people raising funds and nonprofits with 0.5 people raising funds. Oh. So I thought that half a person. And I thought that gave me a unique perspective to bring to different nonprofits. So I started with one client and just myself, and we've grown from there. I am now fortunate to have three amazing teammates and multiple clients. And we are a consulting firm that helps nonprofits maximize impact by reaching their financial goals. And we primarily support nonprofits in southeastern Wisconsin who serve marginalized communities.
Okay, very nice. Well, tell us the services that you provide.
Sure. So I would say about 80 to 85% of my business is grants, and that's a lot of different things. That includes helping organizations to get grant ready. It includes grant research to find funders that are aligned with your mission, developing consistent language to tell a nonprofit story effectively in a way that funders can hear, grant narrative writing, of course, grant report writing, and then the critical piece of coaching on funder outreach, which is so critical. We also provide development gap analysis services where we dive deep into your development department and figure out what's working and what maybe there are opportunities to do. And then for many nonprofits, we create a 12-month development calendar that is really tangible activities that can help raise both funds and organizational awareness, and then implementation support of that calendar.
Wow, you go deep. Your bench is deep in terms of services. Would we be familiar with some of the nonprofits that you've supported?
You might. I have been so fortunate to work for some incredible nonprofits. Journey 21 provides support for adults with intellectual or developmental disabilities. Community Advocates provides basic needs support to tens of thousands of people. Wisconsin Parkinson Association provides support and resources to those with Parkinson's and their caregivers. Data You Can Use provides tangible, actionable data and analysis for nonprofits and funders. RedGen offers a program that supports teen mental health and resilience. Artworks for Milwaukee provides paid arts internships for a very diverse group of teens. I Have a Dream Foundation Milwaukee provides comprehensive wraparound support to a cohort of 100 dreamers and their families. Pillows with Wings, which you know about,
yes,
is a faith-based organization that teaches empathy and resilience to children. And ABCD After Breast Cancer Diagnosis provides free one-to-one emotional support for anyone impacted by breast cancer. So some amazing organizations.
And I think at first glance here, I think I've interviewed all of them except for one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's really great. And obviously Pillows with Wings is Karen Ellenbecker, our founder and senior wealth advisor here at Ellenbecker. That is her nonprofit. So great, great organization. As I said in the opening, funding continues to be a challenge. And you mentioned that about 80% of the work that you do is around grant writing. Talk about this funding challenge as well as some other challenges facing nonprofits today.
Sure. There's a few that I think are worth mentioning. The first is trust. Trust in the nonprofit sector as a whole has been declining over the course of many years. There was a slight increase last year, but overall the trend has been that it's declining. So the sector has work to do in terms of sharing its message, sharing the good work that it's doing to kind of reverse that trend. I think another one that I see every day in my work is funding. The competition is really fierce, and it's so critical to find funders who are aligned with your mission and believe in your work. And then I would say, I think the third thing is capacity. So many nonprofits are operating on shoestring budgets and just don't have the capacity to optimize their work due to limited staff and resources. So that's something that they've got to work through every day.
Okay. Well, we do understand there are challenges, no doubt. Everybody's got them. What about opportunities?
Sure.
What would you say is the best part about supporting nonprofits?
Yeah. There's so many opportunities that are in front of nonprofits, and they're doing such good work. I think I would say our community faces very real challenges. And these nonprofits are working to enact real and positive change so that we can leave our community better for our kids. It's, for me, incredibly fulfilling to support nonprofits that way and to watch nonprofits fill those gaps that are left by government and private sectors.
And so a lot of opportunity there for you in those areas,
yeah,
for sure.
Yes.
And I imagine that's what inspires you to do the work that you do, right?
Yes, yes. I feel so fortunate that I feel like I'm doing something that's useful for people, that I found like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I would also say my husband and I are raising two little boys, and we want kids who are empathetic and compassionate and see what is possible with hard work and dedication, and that they can make a difference in our community. And personally, I'm really passionate about supporting marginalized communities and seeing the change that happens when nonprofits have the resources they need to fulfill their missions. I've just seen lives change for the better when nonprofits have what they need to do their jobs.
I'm sure there's all these organizations, these nonprofits you mentioned, are totally blessed by the work that you do and how you help them in so many ways. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Amanda's going to talk to us about what these nonprofits that she works with are doing in order to be successful in securing funding. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Amanda Aliperta from Momentum Nonprofit Strategies. So, Amanda, tell us what some of the nonprofits you work with are doing in order to be successful with funding, which we've already identified as a major challenge.
Sure. With my work, so much of it is being funding or grant ready and having a solid foundation in place. So the nonprofits that are doing the best are using an evidence-informed strategy They take great pains to track their work and measure what they do. They measure increases in confidence or whatever they're doing. They measure what they're doing. They make adjustments based on the feedback of those they serve. And by really adopting what I call an evaluative mindset that promotes continuous improvement, they do what they say they'll do. They set their goals and then they most of the time achieve them.
That sounds easy and straightforward, right?
You yes. know,
that you would expect. But obviously, that's not always the
no,
case.
No, it's not yeah. always the case. The nonprofits that do what they say they're going to do are doing the best. I would say they also have their financials in order and are well managed. Donors, as we all know, want to give to organizations that are going to last and are well run. I would say they also have very engaged boards who are involved not only with governance, but volunteer at the programs and get to know who they're serving. And then, you know, on another level, the leadership is just committed. Like, they're passionate. It's more than a job. It's something that they want to do and feel like they're meant to do every day.
And I imagine that once those things are in place, that helps you to do your job well, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So do you have any success stories? You know, we talk about POP, proof of performance, and a lot of times success stories help to share that. So share with us a success story where your work significantly boosted a nonprofit's fundraising efforts.
Sure. I can think of a nonprofit I've worked with who I started working with them, I believe, in 2021. And since I started with them, they've done incredibly well, and their organizational budget has more than doubled since I started with them. They've received several multi-year grants, which they hadn't received before, including the Equitable Recovery Grant, which was a $408,000 grant over 3 years, which allowed for significant capacity building. It allowed them to increase the number of individuals served, and it really allowed the organization to plan with more certainty to have that funding lined up for a few years. And that same nonprofit was so fortunate, they also received a grant from the NBA Foundation, which was really, really exciting.
Wow, that is exciting. I didn't realize that we had anybody locally that received any NBA
dollars.
Support. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow, kudos. I wonder who that organization is. Well, we definitely know that fundraising is a critical part of a nonprofit's success, and we also know that it's not easy, as we've been talking about. What would you say, Amanda, is the most important thing that you think nonprofits should focus on when it comes to this challenge of fundraising?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, more than anything, the power of relationships. With my work, especially with grants, I would say even the most persuasive, well-written proposal can be overlooked if someone from the nonprofit or a board member or a stakeholder has not built a relationship with the funder. Many times, a relationship with the funder is the pivotal factor in receiving funding or not. But I think that's something that's overlooked by nonprofits sometimes. They'll think if we just put an application in, that should be it, right? And it's really not. It's got to be something the nonprofit devotes time and energy into building relationships with current and existing funders so that they have those relationships in place. And then I think I would also say something important to know, that declines are part of the process. It's going to happen. I've worked with some clients who wishfully think that simply by sharing their story, which is indeed wonderful, that the funds will just start flowing in. But there's really so much more to the process. You know, funders have limited funds. They have varying priorities. There are other projects or programs sometimes that take higher precedence. And declines happen. And they're part of the process of determining what's going to work and which funders align. And then one thing I would say for nonprofits that I think is critical that is overlooked sometimes is evaluation. Mm. You really have to be able to articulate and prove what is changing as a result of your work. How do you know you're successful? What are you measuring? What is different as a result of your work? And the nonprofits that are doing that are having a lot better success.
There's that POP, that proof of performance.
Yeah.
And yeah, people want to know. I think getting board members and volunteers more involved is also so important. So how can they do that without feeling uncomfortable?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that so many nonprofits come up against is, I have this board, but they say they don't want to fundraise. And what do we do? And how do we get past this? And I think what I say to that is, the solicitation and the actual asking for money is only one part. of the fundraising cycle. There's so much more to it. You don't necessarily have to ask for money to support an organization's fundraising efforts. There are many other things you can do, such as sharing your why in the community. Why are you supporting this organization? Share it as you are out and about. Share it on social media. Share it in conversations. Share it openly. Share it wherever you can. Why you believe this in this organization. Your opinion as a board member matters. Mm. I would say another thing you can do is open doors for the nonprofit to new individuals, to organizations and partners. You never know where things can lead. It can lead to funding, hopefully, yes, but also partnerships,
right,
that can just help elevate the nonprofit in some way.
You don't know who people know.
Right.
Yeah.
You have no idea. So just opening that door and expanding the awareness of that organization is huge. And then I would say make your own meaningful gift. I think sometimes this gets lost in the shuffle, but simply by making your own gift that is meaningful to you in some way shows that you believe in this organization and that you are willing to put your money behind it as well.
Yeah. I think advocacy is one of those things. You know, when people talk about getting involved with organizations, we talk about time, talent, treasure, mm-hmm, right? The three T's. But advocacy is so big because it, again, when you have had an experience with an organization that you could speak to that experience when you're out talking to people, sharing the resources that are available, that is a really biggie too. So I'm adding advocacy to the three
Agreed.
T's.
Agreed. So, I agree.
Yeah. So, well, we talked about a lot of great things today, all the great ways that you're supporting nonprofits. Amanda, what would you say is your call to action for our listening audience?
That's a great question. I think I would say to everyone listening, nonprofits need support. They need volunteers. They need in-kind professional services. They need board members. They need committee members. If you're looking to support some of the good work that's going on in your community, please reach out to me to be connected to any number of great organizations that align with your interests. I would also say if you are a philanthropist or an individual with a donor advised fund or a foundation or a trust, if you're looking to support a smaller or lesser known nonprofit doing exceptional work where your gift could have a transformational impact, please reach out to me. I have some fantastic organizations for you. And then I would say if you're a nonprofit that serves marginalized communities who is tracking your results and, you know, maybe looking to level up your fundraising, particularly with grants, please reach out to me. I'd love to meet you.
Wonderful. Well, tell us how people can reach out to you.
Yes.
What's your contact information?
Absolutely. You can email me at amanda@momentumnonprofitmke.com. I also have a website, and Momentum is on LinkedIn as well.
And can people just Google?
Absolutely. They can Google Momentum Nonprofit Strategies or Amanda Aliperta, and you'll find me.
Okay. That's always the easiest,
yes,
right? You know, just the University of Google, as
yes,
they say. Just type it in there. Unless there's organizations with similar or names, it takes you on a goose chase. But
right.
So we can just, if you didn't get that website, you can just Google Momentum Nonprofit Strategies. So thank you, Amanda Aliperta,
for
being with us today and sharing all the great work that you do.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, Amanda talked about some nonprofits that she's helped to be more successful, one in particular that she referenced specifically in terms of some really great results. Stay tuned because after commercial break, we're going to learn who that was, and we're going to talk with them about their success and how they're making a difference in our community. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm Director of Community Relations. I mentioned before the break that Amanda worked with a specific local nonprofit to help them be more successful so that they continue, the impact that they're making in our community. So let's meet them now. Welcome to the show, Dion Grayson, Executive Director from Lead to Change.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. You're welcome. So let's get started by you telling us more about who Lead to Change is.
Lead to Change is a youth leadership organization that partners with young people as they become career ready. This is accomplished through very robust career education programming. Students participate in our program from October through December, and during that time, they participate in coursework, one-on-one coaching, and monthly boot camps. This is accomplished through three programs that we have: Perspective Media, Interact Club, and Dream Explore Build.
Okay, those sound like great, great programs. Let's hear a little bit more about Dream Explore Build. I guess that's your signature program, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So Dream Explore Build is a program that I created in graduate school, and it was birthed out of the lack of support that I received transitioning to college. Not saying that the support wasn't out there, I was just not aware of it, and I wanted to create a program that would partner with young adults as they navigate their next steps after high school. So Dream Explore Build is a transformative, multi-phase program that empowers students to pursue purposeful pathways through academic enrichment, social-emotional learning, goal setting, coaching, and real-world application. Our program is built on six key pillars. First, our curriculum is called Brick by Brick. It is a foundation for career and personal discovery. Students participate in the program, and they're in class once a week for two and a half hours as they navigate that curriculum. There's career coaching. We have accountability coaches that meet with our students. Those accountability coaches are in class with the students once a week, and they also sit down with the students once a month for 45 minutes to support students as they navigate the experience. There's also goal setting. We make sure that during the school year and in the summer that students set goals that are realistic, that they are able to attain. And so we're just building that mindset for success. And then we have etiquette boot camps. And then this is the power of professional presence. And this is where we have students come together across all of our sites, and they get together and they learn things like dressing for success, interview skills, networking, reception, all things that they need to be successful in their careers. And then during the summertime, we have our capstone experience, which is paid internships and Thursday Academy. So each student in our program, what they do at the end of every year is they declare their career interest. Once they declare their career interest, we as a team, we go out and we find opportunities for young people to practice in those careers that they're interested in. And then the program ends with a career exploration completion expo. And this is where students get to share with the community what they've learned, and we highlight all that took place during the school year.
Wow. Well, Deb's got it going on. Deb, the Dream Explore Build. I wonder if you ever have somebody saying, can we learn more about Deb? And they're wondering, who's Deb? Where's Deb? Deb being Dream Explore Build, your signature program. Wow, that goes into great depth. That's great. So explain to us from your perspective why an organization like Lead to Change is so important.
I think it's important because everyone was designed to do something, and it's important that you find out what it is so that you can live life intentionally. Many of us know people, and we talk to the young people about this all the time, about individuals who do not enjoy going to work every single day, or they're not happy about how things turned out for them professionally. Lead to Change teaches a lifestyle of intentionality and purpose, and that's something that everyone needs.
I especially like purpose. I mean, if you want to live a purpose-filled life, you have to be intentional.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't just willy-nilly through life, right? You set your goals, understand what your purpose is, and then be intentional about it. So I love those specifically, intentionality and purpose. So explain to us then, how do students get into the program, and then how do you determine who is accepted?
So we go out to the schools to recruit students. And so we it doesn't matter what school, public, private, charter schools. And students are interviewed, and they have to pass a grit test. There's a lot of programs where you have to have a certain grade point average to be a part of the program. We don't necessarily look at that, but we do look at grit. And grit is a combination of passion and perseverance. And Angela Duckworth, who's done a lot of study on it, she argues that grit is a strong predictor of success. And so we're looking for students to have some stick-to-itness about themselves, because when the program starts in October, they don't actually start getting a financial benefit until the end of the program year. And so there's questions that they answer in the grit test, and it helps to determine, are you someone who starts and stops, or are you someone who stops and finishes? And another thing that's really important about grit is it has to be something that is very important to you. And so that's why during this experience, the first part of the curriculum, the conversation is about the young people. And so when you look into the curriculum, it talks about what is your passion? What are your motivated skills? What is your personality type? How do you get along with other personalities? And as a teenager, you are your favorite thing to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's something of interest. And then for the second half of the program, the students start exploring careers, and they learn about careers to make sure that career is in alignment with who they are as individuals. Every year we'll have a student who might say, I'm an introvert. I want to work from 9 to 5, and I really don't want to interact with people. But the career that they might be interested in is an ER surgeon or hotel and hospitality. So that's really incongruent.
Like,
yeah, that's probably not going to work. You're probably
maybe
not going to be happy.
And let's rethink this.
Right, exactly. And so it's really about helping them to think intentionally, and that you can be happy at work. Work is not this big scary thing that you go to and you have to hate every day.
That, I love that, because I have 3 kids, and when they were trying to determine what it is they wanted to do, we did that. We said, look at what your interests are. Build a career around it. You know, instead of saying, oh, you know, I want to be a doctor, maybe money motivates them, or, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, I want to be somebody that makes a lot of money, and they're not looking at how they are gifted and uniquely designed. So I love that piece, because I imagine you save these kids a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And heartache and money, yeah, mm-hmm. because you're saying, mm-hmm. yeah, like you said, maybe that's not an area that you should pursue. Let's mm-hmm. take a look at some other ways you can use your talent. Mm-hmm. And yeah, purpose, passion, all that stuff, good stuff. Grit equals passion plus perseverance. That's a good note mm-hmm. to take. Well, Amanda shared in our first half of the show how she worked with Lead to Change to help them grow by 50% over the past 4 years. Dionne has some thoughts about how they accomplished that. Stay tuned, because when we return, Dionne's going to share with us what their secret sauce is. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking again with Dionne Grayson from Lead to Change. So, Amanda from Momentum shared with us how they helped your organization to grow by 50% over the past 4 years. That's super, super impressive. What would you say is your secret sauce?
Good question. I'd say that our secret sauce encompasses several elements. First, I'll say that Amanda talked about this earlier, we're very passionate about what it is that we do. So naturally, we have a proven track record for producing results. We are very intentional about what we promise and what we're going to do. Whatever we tell parents, whatever we tell funders, and whatever our program inputs are, they are aligned with what we promise to our students, parents, and funders. Since we've implemented this evaluation system nearly 10 years ago, we worked with Euglend and Associates. They assisted us with that. We have increased confidence in 100% of the 27 life and career skills that we measure every day.
100%.
100%.
Wow. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And I would also say that we're very intentional about our hiring practices, our programming, and how we engage our board of directors. Because we are boutique, one bad hire, whether it's a volunteer or a staff member, can really shift the entire organization. We do our best to ensure we are hiring individuals who are committed to the mission of the organization and have a personal commitment to operating in excellence.
Nice.
It is important that new hires are not only a culture fit, but they truly have a commitment to performing well in their role.
And I think that culture piece is so important in everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about our culture here at EIG, and someone could have a really nice skill set, but if they don't embrace our culture or fit in our culture, it's not a good fit. And then again, wasting people's time. So I think that culture piece is super important. I'm sure you have really great success stories. Do you have a particular one about maybe a student?
So we have quite a few, but I'll share one about a student that was just maybe 2 years ago. He was interested in fashion, and he was one of our students in the program who was painfully shy. He really did not say much in class. When it was time for him to present, he was terrified. But something happened in the summertime when he was placed at his internship experience. We placed him at Copyright Magazine, and during this time, they designed a line of clothing for himself, and they hosted a fashion show where his garments took center stage. Ooh. So imagine this type of experience for a junior in high school, where you not only get to design your clothes, but they have a fashion show where you select the models, they're wearing your clothes, and then you're interviewed afterwards. This opportunity truly forced him to dig deep and begin to truly own who he was in this space. During that same summer, he built up the courage to enter a pitch competition, which we were all shocked by, that he entered a pitch competition, and he won a 4-year scholarship to design school.
Wow. Oh, I just got goosies. Yeah. Look at that. Wow.
Yep. And if you were
well,
to
audience,
meet him,
you can't yeah. see, but trust me, I've got goosies. Yeah.
And so we're so proud of his trajectory and fortunate to have partners who are willing to curate the type of experience that he was able to have at their place of business.
And just think about advocacy in terms of that one student,
mm-hmm.
how he's going to go out into the community and talk about this wonderful experience
mm-hmm.
that he had.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Lots of great stuff. What would you say has been one of your greatest challenges with running Lead to Change?
I think with any nonprofit, and Amanda did such a wonderful job talking about this, is struggling financially. There was a time in the organization where we had our first paid space, and there was a time where we were really no longer able to afford rent or really even to afford to be able to exist as an organization. And our board met and they decided to dissolve the organization as a result, because you really have to look at, the skill set that was there. Nobody really knew what to do, and you have to respect that. And so what I did was I asked the board to give me some time to kind of rethink and redo some things so that we can get on a trajectory of, being a dynamic organization, which I knew that we were. And one of the first things that I knew we needed to do was to find a board that could really partner with me to help move the organization forward.
And I think that gets back to that relationship piece that Amanda talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you're downplaying your role in this, because you just said to this board, give me some time. Give mm-hmm. me, 6 months or something,
mm-hmm.
where you didn't take any paycheck. You just said, let me do this thing. You know, mm-hmm. let me prove to you that this is worth sustaining, worth the great work that goes into it, but the results that we get with students, like the example that you gave.
Right, and that was really hard, and I know that a lot of nonprofits go through that. We had to leave the office space that we were in. As you said, I did not take a salary. We had to cut people who were no longer working there anymore. But one thing that we really remained is that we do programming well. And so we made sure that we still did programming, that we still had the results, but we did it in a way where we had the capacity to do it. So we still had to keep that going, although we were struggling financially.
Well, you have quite a story, and I'm sure you serve as an inspiration to many people. Tell us what inspires you about the work that you do.
I am very passionate about people having purposeful careers. There is no reason why you should not enjoy what it is that you do every day. I absolutely love the ahas with students when it clicks and they get it and they see that another way is possible. I love the experience when someone is introduced to something new and it changes how they move. Just the idea of living intentionally when you're talking to high school students, it really changes how they think every day with decisions that they make every day, with activities they're involved in, the friends that they connect with. And then I'm also really passionate about, I think service, it was inbred in me as a kid. With my parents, when I was raised, they had a food and clothing pantry. I was raised on 26th and Galena, and we lived upstairs in a duplex, and downstairs we had a food pantry and a clothing pantry, and there was a room that people could rent out for office space, and sometimes people even lived there. And so we always had people at our dinner table. We were always giving away food. My parents were having Bible study. My father was a traveling minister. He used to minister to people on death row. He was the minister that they would call in.
Wow.
So this intentionality is something that I feel like, well, my parents did a really good job of birthing it in all of us.
They sure did. Mm-hmm. That sounds really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an amazing job.
We're going to have a side conversation about that. That's really interesting to me. Well, and I think, again, this gets back to what Amanda was talking about having a good relationship with your board.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that. How did you effectively engage with them and volunteers as well?
Mm-hmm. So I'll first start off and say that over the years, I hear horror stories from a lot of nonprofits who they absolutely do not like working with their board of directors. They hate going to board meetings, and it doesn't seem like they are on the same page with their executive director. So I'm really happy to share that this is not the case with Lead to Change. And so some of the things that we do is, number one, I feel like it's very important that I have some sort of connection with board members. When we did recruit new board members, I found one champion. And that's our current board chair now, Marcus Taylor. And then me and that champion, we went out, we put together what we were looking for. We were very specific about what we wanted. And it wasn't just about skill set, but it was about mindset as well. And so we went out and we interviewed people, and it was really important. And he would always tell me, they have to have a connection to you. They absolutely have to have a connection to you. And that's not something that you hear all the time. It's not something you hear all the time. Communication is important. I think articulating what's happening with the organization and being explicit about how you want to be supported. Transparency about what's working well and some things that need to change. Regarding volunteers, I recently received a really big compliment from one of the companies that has been volunteering with us over the past 4 years. They shared that they appreciate that each time they come to us, we know exactly how we wish them for them to engage. He shared that people always ask what they want to do, and the questions are at times challenging when the corporate liaison is simply looking for a way to engage. So when people come to you and say, how can I engage? Be specific. They're looking for, they want to know exactly what it is that we do. And so we, given that, we share opportunities for the entire year. We'll be putting together our program in a couple of months for the next year. And all of the companies that volunteer with us, we share it to them well in advance. And so they see everything that we need for the entire year, and they're excited to be able to plan. And so having that in advance, I think, is very helpful. And then we make sure that when they show up, that it's an experience that it's going to be a great experience. So number one, they want to engage with the young people. They want to be greeted, and we want to show gratitude. I think gratitude goes a long way. We have to remember that the volunteers, they chose you. They truly could be spending their time elsewhere. And some of the things that we do often is to say thank you. We provide recognition in our newsletter, on social media. We give them paraphernalia with our logo. And we really do respect our volunteers' time. When they come, we're very intentional. They're not standing around, and they know exactly what it is that they're going to do. And then the last thing that I'll say is making sure that we have operational procedures for our volunteers as well. So just making sure that our board members, they know exactly what it is that we're going to do. So our organizational goals, we have organizational goals. And so there's our staff and contractors, they're a part of that. And our board members are a part of that as well.
Again, lots. We could continue this conversation for quite a bit longer, but unfortunately we don't have that time. But what I would like to repeat, something that you said that I agree with 100%, is that gratitude goes a long way. And I think if the young kids remember that, well, everybody actually, but gratitude is, I love that you brought that up. And in terms of collaboration and partnerships, you've told me that you work with Rockwell and Goodwill, Beta Rudder, Copyright Magazine. I mean, you've got some heavy hitters, big names, recognizable names that you're working with. What would you say is your call to action for our listeners?
So a couple of things. I would say volunteer with Lead to Change. We put out our volunteer opportunities for the year, so you can go to our website to get that information. We are always looking for energetic board members, so if you want to sit on our board of directors or a committee, you can feel free to reach out to us as well. Also, if you are a homeschool parent and you're looking for supplemental activities for your young person, Dream Explorer Build is an excellent opportunity that would go well with what you're teaching in class. If you also just want to learn more about the organization, please feel free to contact me. We'll be happy to meet with you.
And give us that website, and if a telephone number is what you would want people to reach out, if that's the way you want them to reach out, give us some actual
The website is www.leadtochangeinc.org, and that is the number 2.
Great. Well, thank you, Dion Grayson, Executive Director from Lead to Change. Thank you for being here today and sharing your passion about what you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And again, Amanda Alaperta from Momentum Nonprofit Strategies. Thank you both for sharing your stories of impact and how you make a difference for the people that you serve.
Thank you so much, Jill.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Lead to Change or Momentum Nonprofit Strategies using the contact information they provided. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guest today, that you think would be a great guest for the show, or if there's a particular topic of conversation that you'd like to learn more about, like today we were talking about grant writing and just how Momentum Nonprofit Strategies is helping nonprofits. So if there's a topic you'd like to learn more about, you can also email me. My email address is jill@ellenbecker.com. So I encourage you to do that. Also tune in next Sunday morning at 10. This is my call to action. Tune in to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making their impact in a multitude of ways in our community. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. I also encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, and you can also listen on demand. If you have a life goal to make a difference for others in some way, give some thought to how you want to do that. Is it through volunteering Again, Deanne and Amanda talked about that. Maybe you have a particular skill or talent that you can offer as help. Or maybe you've been blessed financially and have the means to donate. Those are the most common ways: time, treasure, and talent. But advocating for an organization, I spoke to this earlier. Maybe today's guests resonated with you or aligned with your interests, or any of over 400 other guests who have shared their mission, vision, purpose, and passion on our show. Advocate for them. By you just sharing what you learned about what our wonderful nonprofits are doing and the resources that they have, it can make all the difference in the world, not only for the person who needs the resource, but obviously also for the nonprofit themselves. I'm sure anything you do would be much appreciated. So take the time to put steps in place to accomplish that life goal of making a difference for others. And in the process, you will absolutely be a blessing and give a blessing as a result. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.